Hi, this is Tara McLean, and you are surfing on Jam TV.
This is Isaac Josephson here for Jam TV. I'm here with Tara McLean at Shuba's on a nice Sunday night in Chicago. How you doing, Tara?
Good. Fabulous. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Tara, you have an EP coming out in a couple weeks.
I do.
And rumor has it you're coming out with a new album sometime next spring. That's what the fans say.
I'm hoping to record it maybe March. Have it out April, May, or June. You never know.
Have you started gathering material for it yet?
Definitely. I think I'm pretty close to 3/4 finished writing it. This winter will give me some time.
Okay.
January, February.
Now, on Silence, it took you a while to record Silence after you got signed to Network Records. Is that
yes.
right? How long did it take you?
I guess about a year and a half, wasn't I? Signed before I made a record? Yeah, about that. It was a development, you know. I had a few songs, but I'd never played live really, and I really wanted to learn piano, and I wasn't that great on guitar, so they just gave me time and a piano. And
that's a really nice thing.
Yeah.
Was that something that was decided before you signed on with Network, that you were going to take a year and a half, take your time, or are they just sort of? Were very cool.
Yeah, they were just really cool. They just watched me really carefully to see when they, you know, when we all thought I was ready.
Yeah. Now, there are some great people that played on your album. I know that Bruce Catman from American Music Club played pedal steel on a track.
On Let Her Feel the Rain. He did an amazing job.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Are you an American Music Club fan, by the way?
I don't know a lot of their music, to be honest, but I heard it before he came and worked with me, and I was so thrilled. And he was brilliant to work with. Just, you know, I think that was a second take, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
And you did an acoustic version on the album as well. Why did you decide to put that song on twice?
Because that was one of the first songs I'd ever written, and that was how I heard the song, was the acoustic way. That was the way I did it on a compilation album that I'd put out earlier, or that Network had put out earlier. And it was really important to me that song be portrayed that way. The producer's version is what I call the other one.
Right.
And he really wanted to put a drum loop behind it and make it a little more groovy. But to me, that song was way more fluid. So it was important for me to do that.
Was that odd to hear your music, which presumably had been kind of stripped down before, just, you know, produced and adding strings and piano and all that stuff?
Oh, at first, I was totally shitting my pants. Can I say that?
Sure. This is the web. The FCC does not have any control
great.
Over us.
I was so terrified, and every time they try something, I'd say, nope, absolutely not.
And they were okay with that?
No.
Well, obviously, they weren't.
It was really frustrating because, I didn't know what I wanted. Everything just sounded like it was crowding me, and I was scared because my first songs are like your babies, and you don't understand.
Sure,
you're afraid to let them go out into the world. You know, this album, I'm so open. I'm so excited because now I see different treatments to songs. You can do anything, but I mean, it even got to the point where, you know, Ash Sood, the drummer, had to go out and get me a bottle of scotch, and I don't drink a lot. You know, just to calm me down and say, okay, Terry, you know. You need drums, okay? It's okay. Just listen.
We're going to make a pop album. There's going to be other instruments on there.
Exactly.
Now, then there's songs like Silence on the album, which Silence is very empty and very stripped down. And I was wondering how you differentiate that song from the rest of the album.
Well,
or am I just hearing things?
Nope. That song, actually, I wrote one night, wrote out the lyrics, and I was actually in a demo phase for my album.
Okay.
With another guy recording, a guy named Greg Reilly. And we went into, I went into the studio to do the demos, and I had these lyrics written out, and the guitar player we were working with had a guitar loop, and I said, just loop the guitar. So I started singing it, and I had found out the evening before that a friend of mine had died. And so I was in this really bizarre space, and I'd been up really late, and so I just walked in there, and he looped the guitar, and I just started to sing these lyrics off the top. I'd never sung it before. I just was feeling it, and we didn't even redo it to put it on the record. That version ended up on the record because...
I can hear you sighing in there.
Yeah, well, the sighs are so real, you know, because I'd been crying, and it's just it's a heavy song. It was a dark place for me to be, and I felt that the silence was as important, and the bareness was as important to the ear as the words, So the space is in between said more, which is why I ended up calling the record that.
Is it difficult to go out and play that song night after night? I mean, knowing what it means to you? Does it lose its meaning?
No, because it didn't, I don't know what it means. Like that song is, it wasn't about the person who died. I just went into this space and I don't know where the lyrics come from. It's like a jealousy.
Put a gun
like
to my head or something?
No, aiming it at the ceiling.
Aiming at the ceiling,
just
okay.
Really, yeah, I don't know. Just that place inside you when you're so fed up.
Mm-hmm.
I've never actually gotten that far, but there's a place in everyone that almost gets there. Sometimes we cross over, sometimes we find a way to get back. But I actually, that's one of my favorite things to do every night, because to go out, I sing it a cappella at the end of my mm-hmm. shows. And to do that, I take a deep breath and I go there, and it's always the best part for me because I can sing it without playing guitar, without being distracted.
Is that the favorite song on the album for you, or?
I don't know. I like different ones for different reasons.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
What can we expect from this new album? Are you gonna balk at drums and whatnot? Or?
I don't know. I'll have. I think it'll be a little different. I think my voice has changed a lot mm-hmm. since I've been touring. The songs will just be, I think, less sad and less about my heartbreak, because that's where I was at when I was 19 and 20.
Right. And now you have this wonderful gentleman.
Oh,
here.
Yes, I'm very loving, very happy. And so I've started looking outside myself. And it's funny because I've been feeling guilty that I only write about.
Kim and I had a little discussion on tape a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah?
We chatted.
Excellent. Nothing like serious conversation.
Absolutely. How was The Simpsons out there?
Simpsons was funny.
Had you seen the episode before?
No.
No?
No, we don't have cable, so
yeah,
I don't really get
either.
To watch it. But
okay.
It's Activision.
You mentioned touring. You've toured with some heavy hitters since the album came out.
I have.
Some Canadian acts like the Bare Naked Ladies and also Ashley McIsaac and, of course, Lilith Fair.
Mm-hmm.
What is touring with all those established artists taught you?
Well, they're all different. The Bare Naked Ladies are mm-hmm. are absolutely hilarious, and mm-hmm. it's all different audiences, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But they've all been really, really great to me. All the people that I'm working with, I'm so fortunate to be able to put into a room with these people, because they teach me so much.
Sure.
And they just have so much grace. I'm really, really lucky.
I also heard a rumor about you opening for The Cure next month.
Yeah, in Boston.
Now, that's got to be a little bit intimidating. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I haven't really thought about it, to be honest. Like, I know.
Think about it.
I can't. Cause,
all these, I guess they're 20-something goth kids now that are going to be, looking at you.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be bizarre. But at the same time, it's sort of a... That Tanya Donnelly is also on the bill.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And so it goes me, I do like half an hour set, and then okay. Tanya Donnelly, and then The Cure. And it's 2,700 people, and it's been put on by WBCN.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be amazing. And I haven't really thought about, I mean, opening it for Ashley was really hard at times
uh-huh.
because you're playing to a whole different crowd.
Right.
But you just have to do it. Yeah, I hope it goes well. But I'm trying not to think about it, otherwise I'll psych myself out and I won't do it.
We won't bring it up. How was Lilith Fair?
Very cool. Yeah, Lilith.
You had an early slot on that, right? Early morning?
No, it was. I was. There was A stage, B stage.
Oh, okay.
Main stage, B stage, and C stage.
Mm-hmm.
And C stage was the first run, which was great because I could go and watch those people. I was in the B stage. I was usually first around the first or second person on the B stage.
Okay.
Which went early afternoon, ran closer to dinner time. It was great because I right in the middle of the day, sun's gone down, and then I got to check out all the amazing, amazing
right.
people later.
Could you walk around in front of a house and have people not know who you were?
Or not did you after just get I mobbed? Played, actually. So, I mean, depending on what city I was in,
mm-hmm.
Detroit is really great for me.
It's a big Tara McLean city.
Actually, it was one of the first because of, I guess, Windsor and
mm-hmm.
Toronto.
Sure,
so
sure.
they picked up on my record early.
What's it like to have fans?
It's nice.
Yeah?
It's really nice to have people who appreciate what I do and... You know, there's all kinds of different kinds of fans.
Mm-hmm.
But
have you had any obsessive fans?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, that's not fun. It's kind of scary.
Do they call you all the time, that sort of
thing? No, they can't call me because they don't have my numbers. But just, you know, showing up and being really frightening.
That's a bit scary, I imagine.
Yeah, it is. You just have to... There's just lines that you have to find. But, I mean, most of my fans that I've met are really great, really devoted, come see a lot of my shows. And
that must be nice.
And recommend my albums and... Yeah, it's great.
Now, do you see any difference between the Canadian audience and the American audience?
You know, to be honest, I haven't really seen a Canadian audience because I've been on tour in the States all year.
Is that just par for the course, or does that bother you at all?
Sometimes it bothers me because I am Canadian, and I'd like to be there. And my record got played on Much, or my video got played on Much Music, which was really terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really supportive, and so my record sold from that. But really, my record company concentrates on America because Canada follows. They look at it more globally and say, okay, well, the States is where we need to hit you, micro-marketing in you different places and stuff. And I love it.
I saw Sarah McLachlan last night with Lisa Loeb.
Oh, yeah?
And I was got to ask the obligatory question about your relationship with her. I mean, you guys are on the same label.
Mm-hmm.
Are you friends with her? Or?
Well, it's funny, like... I don't live in Vancouver anymore.
Right.
And she's married now. And, you know, we hung out a little bit. She was great
when I first started. Her husband's the guitarist or something.
No, drummer Ashton Zood, actually the one who caught me the scotch.
Right.
Yeah. Well, she was great when I first signed on, really supportive. I was nervous and was doing a first photo shoot, and she came and did my hair and makeup. And, you know, just really, really nice lady. And just, you know, really next door, sweetheart, and just... You know, she's always been supportive to me. I don't know. She's been... It's strange, you know, because she's so amazing. And I know I'm honored to get compared to her when people compare us, you know. But we are really nothing alike.
And so it's kind of
cool to have her and know her and hug her and love her up. I think she's just a goddess, so... Yeah.
I also read somewhere that you got a gig when you were younger... At the Burchard Gardens nightly stage performance.
Oh, yeah.
And they canned you because they said you couldn't sing.
Yeah, they said I couldn't sing and then I couldn't dance and had no stage presence.
And then what did that make you feel like?
Well, you know, it's funny because I found out that the director of the show had a beef with my dad, an old beef. My dad was in the show years before and I didn't know anything about it. And anyway, but that was besides the point. I was heavier then they were always on my back, you know, you have to lose weight, and as if that had anything, and I mean, not a lot heavier, like maybe 10 pounds,
right?
Which, you know, isn't a lot, but I mean, I was 16 and young, and
you know,
that's
traumatic when you're 16.
Well,
and
yeah, and they're telling me basically that I wasn't good enough, I didn't have the stage presence, every rehearsal was just horrible. Like I always, he just tried to beat me down. And I knew I was good. And so finally they fired me. And I thought, you know, I'm working really hard. And I know I can sing. And I know I've got something special in there. And this asshole isn't going to take this away from me. So, you know, I tried to be really big about it. And I did, you know, I really went into seclusion for a while because I was really upset. So I went and I let the air out of his tires one day during rehearsal. I've never told anybody that.
Okay.
And
a Jam TV exclusive.
And I'm really not a vindictive type. I've definitely, well, I'm less so now. I mean, this is 8 years later.
Right.
But, yeah, at the time I was just like, jerk. So, it really, really hurt me. But I thought, now I look at it and I think about it. And I really, really said to myself, I'm going to be better than this. I am going to go further than this. And
so you think it empowered you?
It empowered me. Yeah. And not in it, I'm going to show him.
It served as a catalyst, maybe.
It did. So. Something to kick against.
Do you ever want to go back to him and stick your tongue out at him? Or?
No. I couldn't give a shit where he is. You know, his show got canceled the next year.
Haha.
Yeah. So.
Goodbye.
Yeah. So I don't really care.
So, I mean, let's say it didn't pan out for you. What would you be doing if you weren't making music?
Hard to say. I mean, I'd always be making music.
What would you be doing if you couldn't make music for a living?
For a living?
Yeah.
I'd probably be working with, honestly, what I'd like to do career-wise, I'd say I'd like to go into, say, environmental law or do work with environmental groups. I was doing a lot of that before I started doing this. But I'd probably have everything I own on my back.
Really?
And I'd be working, traipsing around the globe, just checking out the world and seeing things. I'd be a traveler outside. Instead, now I get to be a traveler on the inside.
Have you done some traveling?
Lots of traveling, yeah.
You lived in the UK for a while.
I did.
What were you doing there?
My mom lives there, I moved there and
That's
checked
nice.
It out.
Did you work, go to school? Or?
I went to school for a while, and I worked, and I've been back like four times to try to work, because I wanted to live there, because my mom was there, but I just don't like living in England. I love visiting it, though, but it's just not my place. And lived in the UK, you know, traveled Europe and everything.
Sure,
you know.
Did the whole backpack thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. Okay, I think
Lots
I have
of time
about
in
enough.
Amsterdam.
Of course. I think we have about enough here.
Cool.
I'll let you get going.
Okay.
I see that Doug and Bill, is that his name?
Yep, that's Bill. Bill Bell.
Bill Bell.
Yeah, Billy Great. Bell.
We're talking about you.
He's deaf, actually. He doesn't hear a thing.
That must be nice to have a musician with you who's deaf.
Huh? Well, he's been on the road since he was 16.
So
it's great to have him along, because he ends up,
he knows what's going on.
Well, he ends up tour managing, and you know, I didn't have my touring legs last year. I was going out cold, and he came with me, and he's also my boyfriend, so we live together.
That comes in handy.
Works,
right?
Yeah, awesome.
Okay.
Thanks for coming and checking out the
show
tonight.
It's gonna be great.